Well, I'll say good morning and how very, very good it is that we are able to be present this morning for the wonderful worship that we've already engaged in, and now for this further study of God's wonderful Word. For a start, I want to, on behalf of the church, welcome our new sister, Brenda Grant. If you have not yet had the privilege to meet Brenda, you be sure you do that before you leave this morning. But we want Brenda to know how, oh, what an encouragement, and how it makes our hearts glad for her obedience to the gospel. And we can be an encouragement to her, and I know Brenda will be an encouragement to us in every good thing. One other matter, and I call attention to all of the men of the congregation. A very important matter has come up that will need to be discussed, and I'm asking that all of the men immediately after our dismissal here will meet in the back room for a discussion of this very, very important spiritual matter. Well, in the midst of seven blessings that our Lord has pronounced, some say there are eight, but anyway, in the midst of these blessings that our Lord has pronounced here in this sermon that has widely become known as the Sermon on the Mount, He intends to change our lives. That's what Christianity is all about. He intends to change the lives of everyone who will follow the instructions that He gives here. He intends that in this change of life, that there will be such wonderful blessings that will follow this change in our lives, that every one of us will rejoice and will not only be better men and women for service here below, but will actually be preparing ourselves for that eternal kingdom of heaven. The fourth of these blessings that are pronounced reads like this: Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Well, you say, Brother Tobe, aren't those very, very strong words that are used to express a very strong desire? And I say, absolutely. Not just a little bit hungry. We'll talk about that in a moment. But here are those who are actually hungering and thirsting, not for physical food, hungering and thirsting for righteousness. What does that mean? I dare say that every one of us that have ever studied to any extent at all these Beatitudes say, you know, I know that they have a spiritual application. It is not talking so much about the affairs of this world as it is talking about the affairs of the hearts of men. What does it mean to hunger and thirst after righteousness? And then, of course, there is another question that immediately follows on the heels of that first one, and that is, how do I go about obtaining that? How can I get to the place in my life where I will hunger and thirst after righteousness, and what do I have to do in order to make it a reality? Well, as is true concerning each one of these statements of our Lord, each one of these blessings that He pronounces, the outline for study just automatically lays itself out for us so that we do not even need to puzzle about how we would approach our study. So the very first thing is the one that has already been mentioned. What does it mean to hunger and thirst after righteousness? And we reply, as I know all of you say, well, he's talking about a very deep longing. The kind of longing, the kind of deep desire that an individual would have if indeed they were in search of food, as if though they were out in a desert area, as if though they had gone without food and drink for, a tremendously long period of time. We have some comparisons in the Bible that will help us. We realize that Jesus fasted for 40 days. How would that affect an individual when they had not eaten for 40 days? Well, it would be exactly the way that the Scripture states concerning our Lord. It simply says He hungered. He hungered. So would we. Then in Luke, the 15th chapter, you remember we have that prodigal that had fallen on such hard times because of his wandering and his disobedience. He got to the place where everyone had forsaken him. There was a farmer that evidently that had employed him to go out and to feed the swine. The Scripture says there in Luke 15 that he was feeding them the pods, just the very leftovers, and that he longed even to eat the very things that he was giving to that swine. That has to be pretty hungry, doesn't it? And the Scripture states concerning him, well, he puts it in his own words there in Luke 15 and verse 17, he said, I perish with hunger. I'm at the point of death because I don't have any food to eat. But as we've already said, here is a spiritual thing that our Lord is talking about when he says, this is the individual that is going to be blessed. Not the individual who is hungry for physical food. Not the individual who has fasted for whatever reason for a period of night and days. Here is an individual who is hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Do you realize how precious righteousness is? Do you realize what a pursuit the seeking for righteousness ought to be within the breast, within the heart of every man and woman that wants to be pleasing to God? Well, look over, if you would like, at 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter. We will be looking at some additional passages in 1 Peter. He is going to describe the conditions of the individual who is righteous. And this is what he says in verse 12 of 1 Peter 3. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Oh, that's why the man who is hungering and thirsting after righteousness is blessed, because the eyes of the Lord are on him, and further, his ears are open to their prayers. The opposite, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Oh, you know, when I go to bed at night, as you do, I offer my prayers to God. I offer my prayers to God. How do I want those prayers to be received? Well, of course, I know I'm addressing the Almighty God. Here is a message that is leaving my lips that is going to the greatest, the mightiest, the most loving individual in all the world. I want God to hear me. I don't want my prayer to be vain. I don't want my prayer to just be words that I will thoughtlessly utter. But above all, when I pray, I want my Heavenly Father, as it were, to be looking down on me, for his eyes to be on me, and for his ears to be attentive to what I'm praying for, possibly petitioning and asking God for a variety of what I think will be good spiritual things, but especially, I want to be right in the eyes of God. So there is very obviously another thing that is going to come to my mind, and that is when I talk about hungering and thirsting after righteousness, I have to realize God is the source. God is the source. Do you know? Well, I know you do know. Do you know that you can't go to a man in order to find righteousness? There is no pope, there is no president, there is no priest, there is no preacher on earth that can make us righteous. Only God. Only one. Righteousness. Oh, when we talk about God as being the source of righteousness, we say, first of all, God is altogether righteous. Everything God has ever said, everything God has ever done, everything that God is, it is right. He is righteous. Psalm 119, verse 172. All of thy commandments are righteousness. Every single one. Everything God has ever requested of any man, everything that he requests of us written in the New Testament scriptures, everything that God would have you to do and have you to be, it is righteous. It is righteous. Noah knew that. In Genesis, the 7th chapter, God called Noah to come into the ark because he said, "Thee I have seen to be righteous before me." Noah was a righteous man. Abraham was approved of God because he was a righteous man. Daniel was a righteous man. Esther was a righteous woman. Paul and Peter and Timothy and Barnabas and Dorcas and Lydia. Oh, the list just goes on and on of these who were heroes of righteousness. They should be our example. I recall one passage of Scripture where Paul is pleading with the Corinthian Christians that had seemingly gone so far away from righteousness, and he says in 11:1, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. What's that mean? What's that mean? We're still on the very same page. We're still talking about this matter. What does it mean to hunger and thirst after righteousness? We say, recognize where the source is. We've got to go to God in order to be righteous. But you know, we can look at these examples of men and women in the Old Testament and in the New Testament who were approved of God. And what do we say? We ought to say, they're our heroes. They're our heroes. You know, every time I read about Joseph, I should not scoff at that young man, but I ought to say, he was a hero of righteousness. I want to be like Joseph. I want to be like Noah. I want to be like Abraham. I want to be like Paul. Be followers of me, even as I am. And do you know when we have that longing, what that is? Do you know what that is? That's hungering and thirsting. Whenever I say, I want to be just like those Christians who were following God. I want to be just like them in following their examples, even as they followed Christ. Well, that is one part of our lesson that I believe is very important, and I'm encouraging you then to have that hungering and thirsting in your life where you say, I want to be righteous in the eyes of God. How do you go about it? How do you go about it? Well, there's something wonderful that the Bible teaches. Folks have it all wrong, I think, for the most part, because they are taught, well, you know, if you want to feel good about yourself, isn't that what it's all about? Isn't that what many religions are all about, feeling good about yourself? You can't make yourself righteous. There's no way. A lot of people try that. They say, well, I'm going to be morally good, and that will satisfy God. You can make up a long list of the good things that you've done through life. Hey, Lord, I've got a list made up here, and this was the good deed I did today, and this is what I did last week, and I talked to this one and that one, and I did that wonderful thing. And they say, God's going to let me in now because I am a doer of good deeds. Just as surely as it is true that God is the source of righteousness, so it is also true that we have to be reconciled to God if we are going to be righteous. Now, I can think at this stage of a lot of things that I could say that probably would be true in explanation of this. But instead of doing that, I'm going to invite you to turn to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, where this big word that some people don't understand, reconciliation, is used, and Paul explains all about it. Beginning in verse 17, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Paul says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, Paul says, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now that's what Sister Grant did on Friday night. She became reconciled to God. Not just her, but all of us. Whenever God looks at us in that unreconciled stage, we've got all of our sins with us. Not righteous. Not righteous. As I say, no matter how a person deceives themselves, if we have never been reconciled to God, if we've never been obedient to him, God's wonderful plan. Oh, it was talked about so ably this past week over at Chester. What was God's plan? God looked down on the world. He looked down on you and me. He said, you're sinful. You're sinful. You're unrighteous. And you know what? If you continue in that unrighteousness, you're going to be lost forever. You're going to be punished. You're going to go to hell. But he said, I'm sending my son. This very last verse, 21. I'm sending my son. He is going to offer himself on the cross as the Lamb of God that will take away sin. If you will obey him, Hebrews 5 and verse 9, if you will obey him, you'll be reconciled to me. Reconciliation, what is it? Being made friends again. Unreconciled, we do not have that privilege of prayer. We do not have that privilege of fellowship with God. Be reconciled to him because he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. If you want to put it down a step at a time, that's step one. Become a Christian. Be baptized to have your sins washed away. If any man is in Christ Jesus, did you notice there in verse 17? If any man is in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. He's a new creature. God has forgiven our sins. Well, what else? What else? Some people say nothing else. Nothing else. It's with great sadness when a person comes and says, I want to be baptized. And they are scripturally baptized. And we never ever see them again. They're gone. They're gone. Well, hungering and thirsting after righteousness on their part. No, not so far as we can tell. Not so far as we can tell. Because, you know, whenever we talk about hungering and thirsting after righteousness, do you know that's talking about an activity? That's talking about something to do. Now, we quoted that scripture back in Psalm 119. All of thy commandments are righteous. They're righteous. Do you know all of the Bible? Raise your hand if you do. Know every single teaching that is in the Bible. Well, you say, Brother Tobe, no. All right. What are you going to do about it if you hunger and thirst? Well, you're going to be like the man that is described in the first Psalm. Have you read about this man? Have you read about him? This is the way that man is described. Starts off with that very same word, blessed. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers, but his delight. Underline that word, if you will. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. What are you doing, man? I'm hungering and thirsting after righteousness. What are you doing, man? Well, my delight is in the law of the Lord, and I meditate in it day and night. Does it describe you? Here's a man who hungers and thirsts after righteousness. How often do you think of the Word of God? How often do you study? Well, a whole series of questions here. But what it is saying is, I can't get enough. I can't get enough. Feast on Bible classes? Were you at one of the Bible classes this morning? If you say, well, no, Gene, I never attend. Uh-oh. Are you hungering and thirsting after righteousness, really? Gospel meetings? Well, you say, that's not our gospel meeting. Why should I go? Hungering and thirsting after righteousness. How about private discussions where you go to a brother or sister who knows the Bible and you say, I want to study this particular thing with you. I've told you about Frosty McCoy, and I'm going to tell you about her again. She lived in Martinsville. Sister Frosty, what a strange name. I guess she was born in the winter time, don't you? Sister Frosty, every time I would go to her house, she had her Bible open on her footstool. I can just picture her so well. I may have come in and said, Sister Frosty, it's rainy today, or it's cold, or it's hot, or whatever. Boy, she got over that in a hurry. She said, Brother Gene, I have been studying the Word of God, and I want to talk with you about this passage. What is that? Hungering and thirsting after righteousness. These were more noble, Acts 17:11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that They search the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. What is that? Hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Living righteous lives. Love that which is good, abhor that which is evil. Romans 12 and verse 9. Do righteous deeds. Let us not be weary in well-doing. If we faint not, there will be the reward. How much do you trust God? Has He ever made you a promise that He's failed in? What is the promise here? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. They shall be filled. Do you know that's what God will do for you? If you hunger and thirst after righteousness, God's going to reward you. You're going to be filled. Filled with righteousness, filled with knowledge of His Word, filled with every good thing. God's promises never fail. He will do just what He said. How often are you to hunger and thirst after righteousness? Over and over and over again. Just like our dear sister Frosty, you're never going to be too old. You're never ever going to say, well, that's enough. That's enough. I have all of God's righteousness now that I could possibly put up with. Over and over again, this is a characteristic of those who would be right in the eyes of God. I don't care if you're 99 years old. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. You'll be full. Full of knowledge. Full of joy. Full of peace. And full of that great hope of heaven. Do you want to begin that journey seeking righteousness this morning? You believe in Christ. I know you do. If you would confess your faith before men this morning, turning away, determining, I don't want to do the wrong anymore. I want to do the right. And then to arise and be baptized to wash away your sins. Pursuing thereafter. Always the knowledge of God, His Word, and His ways, you'll be filled.